Okay, let's set the ball rolling on Game On with Femi and the gang on Nigeria Info. And like we tell you a few minutes ago on the show for tonight, we'll be talking about the big leagues on the European continent and how things did play out on Saturday and Sunday. Arsenal have several options now, at least it looks that way, in the attacking department of that side. Trossard coming through and having assists aplenty. So we're going to be having the question come on board of who exactly should be the point man for the Gunners with the options they have at this moment. Also, is Casemiro a curse or blessing for Manchester United? Well, that's something we can dissect as well too. There's a bit of challenge for Barcelona's to a corruption case. I'm not sure Brownie should be smiling too much on this because Real Madrid have also added their voice to the push to sanction the team tutored by Xavi Hernandez. And we have Victor Osimhen to celebrate. May not have scored for Napoli, but his side have extended their lead on top of the Serie A table in Italy. Two Nigerian players have made the top 11 stars for the Under-20 Africa Cup of Nations. And we have tennis stories to come to. Without any further ado, let's do house that do and say hi to the one and the only Chigozie Brownish, weighing 255 pounds.
Jesus.
5 feet 9 tall. Give it up for the rapper, always fresh and dapper. He gives us sweet wine like a palm wine tapper. Brownish!
In some scenes, they call me the clapper. You know the vibes. But I'm doing good. We have allegations against my beautiful club. They are still just allegations right now. But either way, we'll have a conversation about that. But it's a great Monday. It's a great evening to just, you know, dissect sporting football, sporting information and all that talk. But it's going to be a very tough show because people are going to call in and be shouting, "Oh, corruption!" But I'm ready for that. You know, that's why we do what we do.
Indeed. You're ready for it. I can see you as a guy who's gone for some trainings before you came in here, and that's physical trainings now, so you can take anything that's thrown at you.
My muscles, yeah. They are bulging. I'm ready.
Indeed, muscles. All right. Well, she has the right muscles when it comes to her financial might. Perhaps the richest member off the gang at this moment. Adesi and Michael joins us too on the broadcast. How far?
Chuma, please. Chuma,
good evening
to
you. Welcome.
Chuma, please. Good evening. Good evening, Lagos. Please, I'm nowhere near that. I beg you. My destiny helper is listening. He's like, oh, see, person, why I won't help. I don't know, say she get money. Please, I beg. I'm just saying my corner. Try to survive. I'm not the richest. The richest could just be the man you introduced first. He's the one on money, like, seriously now. So, me, I'm just on low key. My business and living my life, but whatever it is, very good weekend for, you know, some of the top teams in Europe. Barcelona maintaining the momentum. Napoli, you mentioned, of course, no one can stop them. You know, Arsenal Football Club. Well, I came for them today. I think I'll have to do some confessions now on this show tonight for Arsenal Football Club. They keep doubting their traducers, now, and detractors. Every weekend they keep churning out these consistent results. So it was a well good weekend, and we're here to review in depth now.
Akpaniko, and for those who are wondering what that means true talk, really, in Efik. Let's get into it immediately, and we can focus on those results from the Premier League first off, which is the way I always love to start the Monday edition of Game On before we delve into other things. How about just focusing on the most exciting league in the world? And just to remind you too that we keep serving you with live commentary from the Premier League as official right holders for the coverage of the Premier League in Nigeria for radio. So we're here to serve you as regards to that for sure. Fulham and Arsenal played on Sunday. Before I get to that, let's run through the results from Saturday. AFC Bournemouth found the way to Bourn Liverpool by a goal to nothing. Watch Ali profit to Liverpool to beat Manchester United 7-0, only to go on and fail to score a single goal against Bournemouth. Everton, Brentford was 1-0 in favour of Sean Dyche's side. It's difficult to Sean Dyche now with the kind of good results he's getting with Everton at this moment. Leeds United 2, Brighton and Hove Albion 2 was another result. Leicester City lost 2, Chelsea. The Blues are moving towards being fortified, honestly, because 1-0 against Leeds United the other time, 2-0 against Borussia Dortmund, and now they scored 3 against Leicester, winning 3-1. So next up, Chelsea fans, watch out. You guys will be fortified. You may just be winning your next game by 4 goals to nothing or something like that. The goals coming in from Ben Chilwell, Kai Havertz, and Mateo Kovacic for the Blues in that. Tottenham Hotspur were 3-1 better than Nottingham Forest, and Crystal Palace lost to the champions, who are still defending champions from last season, Man City, who won that by a goal to nothing. Ellingbrot Haaland scoring the only goal of the game from the penalty spot in the 78th minute of that fixture. Now take me to Sunday now for you. Newcastle 2, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1, West Ham United 1, Aston Villa 1, and Manchester United, who had Casemiro sent off, were held to a goalless draw by Southampton, having used the 10 men to play that game for most of the fixture. The game that was biggest for Sunday was a London derby, Fulham against Arsenal, and the Gunners wrapped things up in the space of the first 45 minutes. Gabriel Magalhães, Gabriel Martinelli and Martin Odegaard, the goal scorers for them. All three goals created by Leandro Trossard, a player Arsenal got to brighten their performances, and they got him from Brighton and Hove Albion, even though what time in. Here's Mikel Arteta, Arsenal's manager, excited about two things: the victory and also the return of Gabriel Jesus, who came off the bench towards the end of proceedings for his first taste of action in over 3 months.
Really happy. It's a really tough place to come, really well-organized team, and I think we dominated the game. We created so many chances. We kept a clean sheet, which was really important, and we won the game in a convincing way. So, big boost, first step today, and we didn't know whether it was the right game for him today. A few days ago, he said to me, "I'm still missing something." Yesterday, I look at him in his eyes, and he says, "I'm ready." It's okay. So then, yeah, we had the opportunity. We wanted to throw him in because it's that first step to giving the boost. He looked free. He generated two big chances straight away, and it's great to have him back.
All right, Arteta may have been excited that Gabriel Jesus is back playing for the Gunners, but he alluded to the fact that there's a reality. Jesus cannot just walk into the starting 11 just like that. He says the Brazilian has to earn his spot in the starting lineup for the Gunners. So I'll be finding out from you after this commercial break the same question I'll be asking Adeze and Brownish: who should be given the role as point man for Arsenal for the rest of the matches for them in the Premier League this season? That's because Nketiah has proven his worth at times. Trossard came off as the point man for them over the weekend and created 3 assists. And Gabriel Jesus is back from injury. So who should be that point man for the Gunners? We'll try and break that down after this commercial break. Stay with us. God bless you too, humble Smith. We are too humble to fumble. We don't want you to grumble. So I wouldn't have cause to mumble those kind of words I just mumbled a few seconds ago. Welcome back to Game On. It's Life on Nigeria Info. Chuman Nalin here and Adeze Michael along.
The best of talk.
And it's the best of talk for you for sure. We're Femi and the gang, and it's 99.3, that frequency for you. Just before the commercial break, I was speaking about Arsenal and where they are on top of the table and what exactly the reality is for the Gunners as to options in the attacking department for that side. Now, just for the sake of the record, Arsenal have 66 points from 27 matches. They're on top of the standings now, 5 points clear of Manchester City, who are second best. United have played 26 games. They are third. They have 50 points. At this stage, they are 16 points behind the Gunners. But they have a game in hand, just to add that part. Apparently, I think their own race for the title may be over at this stage, realistically. Tottenham Hotspur are fourth. They have 48 points. And there's Newcastle, who are currently fifth best with 44 points. Liverpool, sixth, and they have 42 points after 26 matches. Now, back to Arteta, being excited to have Gabriel Jesus return to the Arsenal setup. And with Trossard given the opportunity to start as the point man for the Gunners yesterday, he may not have scored, but he became the first player to score a hat-trick of assists in the first half of an away game in the Premier League. Phenomenal stuff from the man. The other time it was Eddie Nketiah doing stuff for Arsenal too when Gabriel Jesus was injured. Now Nketiah himself has a bit of injury concerns too. But it's not going to be out for too long, I can imagine. Jesus himself, who's not played since sometime November last year, has returned for the Gunners. Who do you think should be number one priority point man now for Arsenal from this time until the end of the season in the Premier League? Brownish and Adeze would have to try as much as they can to respond to that. And you also can talk. Tell us what's up using WhatsApp, and feel free to speak to us using Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. That's at Nigeria Info FM. You could also add that for Manchester United fans, Casemiro out for 4 games. The other time it was a red card, 3 games. Now a red card, 4 games. 7 games to be missed by one player in one season because he's gotten 2 red cards in the games he's played for United this season. He's been a great player for them, or hasn't he? However, with these red cards and with these misses now, is he a blessing or a curse of a signing for United? You can let me know which you go for and why. Let's start with Arsenal, first of Do Adeze. And who? Coach Adeze Michael. Who you go start for that number 9 position?
Honestly, it's a very good headache for Mikel Arteta. Very, very good headache. This is what a player would want. However, they've managed to crack the transfer window that birthed Leandro Trossard. It was going to be Modric for some reason. He ended up at Chelsea. The director and Arteta, they didn't dwell on that disappointment. They quickly pushed around and got a man that slotted straight into the Arteta project and philosophy. What a blessing that is. And then by then, Gabriel Jesus was already out. But however, straight to your question now, the three players have a different contribution. And they are different players. Gabriel Jesus is a workaholic. He's a press monster. He's just that energetic player you would want to help every other person, their heart to beat very fast and, you know, just get thinking, especially in the attacking box. Eddie Nketiah is just that poacher. He's just that fox in the box. He wants to get to the end of things, get to the end of the crosses, get to the end of the final passes in the box and just sneak into the back of the net. These days, he's added other layers into his game, which is trying to link up with, you know, the guys on the left and right, as well as dropping deep to also be part of the party. And defensively, for Leandro Trossard, he's not even a striker, but he's had to play that false nine role against Bournemouth, against Everton, and just yesterday Fulham. Centrally, he's just like everything that Arteta touches now, it turns to gold. But however, like I said, he is not a striker, so at some point he may have to shift away at some point, but not now. But if he continues in this trajectory of, he's got a 6 goal contribution in 5 Premier League starts. When I mean contribution, direct goal contribution, and then 5 assists in 9 Premier League appearances. In fact, the fans have come to even liken him to Santi Cazorla because they've got something in similar, the small stature, that great technique of skills and quality of an Arsenal player when you want to describe it, and then his ability to just know when to hit the right passes and getting people to score the goal. So it's going to take a while before he can do what Santi did. But however, he's giving Arsenal fans that dream of, can he become the next Santi Cazorla? But here's a caveat. How did he leave Brighton? He left Brighton because he was not happy that he was playing a peripheral role under De Zerbi. And then during training against Middlesbrough, where they were going to face off in the FA Cup against Middlesbrough, he realized that he wasn't going to be part of the starting 11. What did Trossard do? He walked away from the coach without saying anything. And the coach got angry and banished him. So he's a stubborn player. And he wouldn't just accept that peripheral role. And he's not the one that want to sulk it in and, you know, try to... He has his unique qualities and he's really a big asset for, you know, Arteta. He's always very comfortable receiving the ball in tight spaces. And more often than not, help the team get out of trouble, other than just, you know, making sure that everyone is just very active and lively in that box area, providing the assist. So I think he may be the one to step up because Gabriel Jesus, yeah, doesn't score all of those goals, but there's something about him. He's always making tackles. He's always flying into fouls, making interceptions. He's just that good all-round player. But however, he's almost undroppable, talking about Trossard. So it's difficult. Eddie will always be a squad player. No disrespect. We know how he came to starting games for Arsenal because Gabriel Jesus was not there. Wow. But each time he's been called upon because he's got great midfielders have set him up in terms of Odegaard. And then he's also playing alongside Saka and Gabriel Martinelli on the left. But I think the competition has to be between Gabriel Jesus and Leandro Trossard. Who is going to man that? One is a natural striker. The other one is just a winger that I've been asked to play in a false nine role and he's played it to perfection. 5 assists in 9 Premier League appearances. That's really magnificent. So Arteta has to deal with his stubborn part of when he's not going to play. Mm. How does he manage his feeling and his ego? That's the only problem Trossard has.
Yeah, it's a player who we know that can also play the role of Gabriel Martinelli in that Arsenal team, like you said. And well, the fact that he was given the number 9 role and he went into that so seamlessly, creating all of those goals for the Gunners. yesterday shows that he can do everything from the attacking perspective, certainly. And it's going to be tough to think of dropping that kind of guy. Brownish, Coach Brownish. I beg, who you go start for number nine?
Oh, yikes.
For Arsenal.
I would not be starting Eddie Nketiah.
All the things the boy has been doing since that Jesus was injured, you still don't respect him?
No, I do respect him. I respect his ability, but it's not more a question of Gabriel Jesus, of Eddie Nketiah, as to more a question of the players he's up against, right? If he was in the centre forward role, the reason why you can't logically start Eddie Nketiah in front of Leandro Trossard or Gabriel Jesus is these other guys are more comfortable with the ball at their feet. And the way Arsenal play, they play really quick on transitions. They like to move the ball around. You know, their layoffs, they do more laying off than they do crossing into the box. And Eddie Nketiah is, like Adizi said, a fox in the box. He's going to pop up in the most uncanny of places. Yeah, he's going to... But the problem is, the defenders in the English Premier League are very astute to those kinds of attacking players, right? Look at Erling Haaland. Erling Haaland's a big, burly player. He can hold defenders off, and he's still having issues because he's pretty static in that front. With Eddie Nketiah, you know that he's going to pop into the area. You know that when they make those runs to the byline and they cut it back, the likelihood of finding him at the near post or finding him on the penalty spot is really, really high. But the problem is Arsenal don't really play like that. You know, more often than not, they will even pass the ball into their centre forward who will hold on to the ball, maybe take one or two people on and then lay the ball off to either Saka or Martinelli to get in and then cut back for somebody completely different. Xhaka can be arriving in the edge of the area and score. That's how Arsenal are playing, and that's what makes them so devastating. So if you play player like Eddie Nketiah up front, you're stifling the Arsenal creativity and their chances, especially when you've got players like Gabriel Jesus and Leandro Trossard. Now, why I would play Jesus over Trossard is because Trossard on his own, and this is a subjective thing, but I would always favor more Gabriel Jesus than Leandro Trossard because two things. First off, Trossard is more often playing the false nine role, right? So I don't think he can function as a number nine when you actually need a number nine in the area. And he's more likely to drift out towards the wider areas so that he can let players like Saka and Martinelli. And Martinelli likes running into the middle. We've seen him do it quite a few times. But the problem is, more often than not, when you're playing in those roles, when you're playing against with players that don't, at times when players can't actually move into those areas, because when you notice that you're having issues in the middle and you're drifting out of the middle, the players who are on the wings know that there are problems in the middle. That's why you're not there, right? So you overload either one of those flanks. So that's what Leandro Trossard does, or you drop really back. And sometimes you just need a player that's going to be in that 6-yard area when that cross eventually comes in, which is what an original number nine automatically thinks. And if you notice, Gabriel Jesus does that really well. His positioning is inch perfect when he has to be in those areas, which was why at the start of the season he was banging in goals time and time again, because he and Saka just fell in love with each other automatically. Because when the time comes for Gabriel Jesus to drop back, he plays a bit like Bobby Firmino. And that's something that I really appreciate about Gabriel Jesus. He can drop back, pick up the attack from even the center circle and advance it going forward, advance a quick counter. He's that kind of player. He's really quick. He's got fleet foot, and then he can draw the fouls as well, right? Leandro Trossard can do that as well. But the thing is, Gabriel Jesus doubles at, he can play false nine, he can play number nine. And in a time where you have a number 11 already, you have a number seven already, you don't necessarily need anybody that can drift out to the left or to the right. You need somebody that can function in that center area. Yeah. And Jesus does it so well because he's not holding up play. He's strong enough to actually do that, but he doesn't do that quite as much. He's not, I mean, look at the goal he scored against Chelsea last season, where it was literally the only goal City scored, but he held up the ball, managed to turn and still shoot in one motion while holding off a defender. That's not something that Leandro Trossard drew, you probably fall, right? And Jesus does it really well. He does that, and then he also knows when to go down. He knows when, just, he has the striker's instinct. He has the striker's positioning. He can play as both a false nine and a number nine. So the way, the pros outweigh the cons for me for Gabriel Jesus. And he has also, and he has also won trophies. So he has the trophy mindset. He knows what it is like to have the discipline of working in a trophy team. Okay. He has also played under a manager who, while he didn't consider him dispensable, was not going to be playing him up front, and he has played for the team. Talking about when he was at City and he wasn't the first choice, and they eventually sold him, but he still every day gave 110%. So far, Trossard at Brighton, he didn't get his way and he sucked. So, in my opinion, Gabriel Jesus, he's more consistent as a team player.
We just heard from our coaches. In fact, Femi Obong-Daniels, when we're going for the Swan Cup, I'll give you one of these, my two coaches, to handle things for you, really. Let's go to the phone lines now. Thank you so much, guys, Adesi and Brownish for that. And I think that the summary of this is, it looks like you guys are giving the slight edge to Gabriel Jesus, if I put your two thoughts together, to be the starter in the attacking department. And it looks like both of you have Edin Nketiah as number three amongst the options, really. Let's go to the phone lines. That's number one option for me right now. And also WhatsApp. I can see your comments already pouring in on that platform. For those who do not have the Nigerian for WhatsApp number, I'll just share that with you now so you could save it on your device. It's 0809-597-5805. That's 0809-597-5805. That's the Nigerian for WhatsApp number. We're asking you, looking at the fact that it looks like everything is aligning at the right time for Arsenal, and Nketiah, maybe out a bit, injured a bit, but he's going to be back soon. He's been the one who's been there for the Gunners with Gabriel Jesus absent since November. Now Jesus is back. Trossard, who Arsenal signed during the January transfer window from Brighton, comes in, starts as the number nine man for them yesterday and creates three assists in the first half as Arsenal beat Fulham by 3-0. So it looks like the options are plenty all of a sudden as regards a point man for the Gunners. And we're asking you, make yourself Coach Arteta now. Who would you pick to be the point man for Arsenal? Also, you can put this in the mix too. Casemiro, sometimes he's a hero. Sometimes he takes Manchester United to zero, as he did yesterday. Is he a curse or a blessing to United? He's signing from Real Madrid to the Old Trafford Giants with all of these red card issues. You surely can speak to us. The phone lines, they're buzzing already. 0700-993-993-993. That's 0700-993-993-993. And for our female callers, 01465-7190 is available for you. Enough of my talking. Now you can show some walking life on Game On with Femi and the gang on Nigerian Info. Hi.
Hello, good evening, Chuma.
How are you doing? Good evening.
Yeah, good evening, Adesi and Brownish.
Hi.
Yeah, this Friday for Mbeleri. Chuma, let me talk about Casemiro and Man United. For me, I think it's still a blessing to Man United because I remember how many matches that this guy keep on scoring winning goal for Man United. He has changed the way Man United play. So for me, that's why the red card, because like Ramos, I remember Ramos in Madrid those days. Ramos will just come and collect red card. But still yet, he was still Madrid, one of the Madrid best players outside Ronaldo then. Okay. He was still one of their players. But for me, Casemiro is still a blessing to Man United because I believe when he come out from this red card, he's going to come out stronger. He's a Brazilian. South America, they know how to fight. They fight to the end. For me, Casemiro is still a blessing to Man United.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Friday, for speaking to us. Let's go to Femi Omotayo, who's calling us via Skype. Femi, how are you doing? And just confirm where you're calling us from.
Hello, Chuba.
Yeah, Femi, I just want to confirm where you are calling us from.
Yeah, I'm calling from Dallas, Texas.
All right, so I can say good afternoon instead of good evening. Welcome, Femi.
Yeah, it's good afternoon. It's 2:15 right here.
Yeah.
I think Casemiro, there's no point overflogging this red card issue because actually he had I think two red cards all through since he's been to United. So I think it's been a blessing to them.
Okay.
So what do we say of Pepe's Pepe's when Pepe was in Real Madrid? Mm-hmm. These people, they have even more terrible times in Real Madrid, collecting red cards, even maltreating players, opponents anyhow. So I think Casemiro has been a blessing to United.
Okay.
Rather than a form of any cost. He's been very good to United. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Femi Omotayo from Dallas, Texas in the USA. Thanks for speaking to us through Skype. Let's go back to the phone lines now. How are you doing? Good evening.
Yeah, Chuma Nolly.
Yes, sir.
The Ram Master.
I hear you, sir.
Adabeke.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good to you, my sister. Chuma.
Yeah. Brownish is saying
they
hi
say
to
those who wear shoes, no wear pinches, right?
True.
Uh-huh. Adeze.
Sir?
Barcelona win their match yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
Uh-huh. Thank God. Chuma Nolly Beke Wagbara.
The Rhymemeister. Nothing to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your call, okay? Pleasure hearing from you. Let's go to WhatsApp where there are so many messages staring at me already through that platform. Yeah. This one says, my name is Kayode. I will go for Gabriel Jesus. He's more effective than Trossard, you say. Good evening, guys, in the studio. I will pick Gabriel Jesus over Nketiah. And for me, Trossard is coming third in the pack. Jesus winning the vote so far. Greetings, Chuma Adesia and Brownish Zio commenting from Isolo in Lagos. As for Arteta's decision on who to start, bros, I tell you, as a diehard Arsenal fan, I won't bench Gabriel Jesus for anything. Jesus' contribution is key to why the Gunners are where they are today. With Jesus back, I can beat my chest that Arsenal's chances of winning the Premier League title is 90%. As for Casemiro, Dawo na Manu Palava. I know, send them, as he says. Alrighty. I'll just take about four more comments on WhatsApp so we can switch to the next conversation on the show, which will be touching on results from the other big leagues in Europe from the weekend, and the two stars from Nigeria who are part of the team of the tournament for the Africa on the 20 Cup of Nations, on the 20 Africa Cup of Nations, yeah? Joanne from Ikorodu says, I believe Casemiro is a blessing to Manchester United considering the amount of goals he has scored for the team as a midfielder. Justice for Nketiah. For someone who's not been given playing time, Eddie has been good. I wonder what position is Nelson in this discussion now. Maybe he should leave and go to a club where he'll be appreciated. You yourself, what do you want to do now? If you have this amount of options, where will you now give Nelson, you know? He can come off the bench and be scoring those 90-minute screamers. His name will be in the history books as the guy who helped Arsenal win the title, yeah? This just says, hello, Chuma the Rhymes Master. Okay, please, hello to you too. I beg, add your name and feel free to also add your comments to Adizi and Brownish are saying hi to you. And your answer will come from Ajase. Says Gabriel Jesus all the way. Trossard on the wing in place of Martinelli while Nketiah goes back to the bench. When I pity this guy. He made a shine now when Jesus gets injured. Don't send him to the bench so quickly. Now I beg. I am begging you. Thank you very much. Over now to you more for you on Game On with Femi and the gang on Nigeria Info. The game is on and we're still having fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all.
All right, just before we go elsewhere in Europe and take you through the results from the big matches, the ones involving Real Madrid, Barcelona, Napoli and the other big boys in Europe, let's touch on the just concluded Under-20 Africa Cup of Nations. Congratulations to Senegal, the young Teranga Lions, champions of the continent at the Under-20 level. They beat Gambia in the final on Saturday to achieve that feat.
But it is now Senegal again are champions of Africa. They managed it in the senior competition, at the beach competition and CHAN earlier in the year, but now the young Lions of Teranga, for the first time in their history, have won the Under-20 Africa Cup of Nations title.
Senegal have all the football titles on the continent now, barring the women's game. Everything in men's football, now them. Take it under 17, though. And we do have the under 17 competition coming up later this year, or don't we, at the global stage now. And you also have to give it to you, this Teranga Lions side, the young Teranga Lions, as they are called. They got goals from Suleimana Faye and midfielder Mamadou Camara at the Cairo International Stadium to beat Gambia by 2-0 and get the title. One word each. No, I give you guys 30 seconds each just to praise Senegal. Just praise them in this life. African Beach Soccer Championship. Senegal are continental champions. Africa Cup of Nations for senior football. Senegal are African champions. This one, Senegal are African champions now under 20. Everything that Senegal touch in this life, it goes their way. Championship for African Nations, which is the Nations Cup for home-based players. Senegal are African champions. At this stage, Brownies, that's going to eat Senegalese jollof rice.
That would be fantastic.
Maybe this thing will help us to be champions in
our life. Maybe.
You.
We just need to find a way to cook it, to be honest. I want to be a champion.
Find a Senegalese friend. Brownish, you know these people now.
I don't know them yet, but I plan
to help us cook this thing. Let us taste it. I'm not sure Adesia has looked through the recipe.
No, Adesia has cooked it before for
Senegalese jollof.
Yes, you understand. She has cooked it before. She knows to cook it well. You understand? Mm. Chef.
Kukuruku, cook that thing.
Oh, you guys have just... In fact, tomorrow I'm going to the market to cook jollof rice and turkey and fry that.
Why this whistle not come on?
You guys, you guys have just gone some out of my head. This one that you're looking for cash, that's the problem. There's no cash anywhere.
Oh boy.
I don't know.
I don't even want to reason that cash thing before I get depressed on the show.
But
this
I need
night,
to share and cook jollof rice and turkey and fried plantain tomorrow.
This is your game on, guys. It's not food on, just to say that. But you have 30 seconds to praise these Senegalese because
it is their time. Yeah, it is their time and their moments of putting their name globally. Yeah. Morocco did it in the World Cup, and now Senegal are doing it in Africa. They have a lot of talent. Senegal are a footballing nation. They still have that record at the world stage. No, they don't have it. I'm sorry. Morocco have taken over. But they had it for a very long time. Quarter final 2002. We've always known their talent. And there's this synergy between Senegalese Football Federation and the French Football Federation where they don't have all of those individualistic academies. Everyone just move from, if you're a talent, you identify with the low-key academy, you're going straight to France, you're going straight to Europe, you know, and there's no fanfare around it. There's no stress around it. There's no, I'm looking for the best agent or something like that. So there's partnership and it's working for them. We had ours with La Liga, but we've not done it. So I don't even want to rub Nigeria into this. Let's give accolade to who accolade is due.
Yeah.
All of the plaudits and encomiums goes to Senegal. And now look at this. I'm sure they should get it right. Moving them, progressing them, graduating them now to the higher level is something. And again, I had to also remind people that most of them came from Chan tournaments.
Impressive.
They just concluded Chan tournament that we couldn't qualify, that we bottled in Abuja. Mm. Five of them are part of this club. So look at that intentional and systematic approach. But our own will change coaches. Coaches will say, I'm not working with this player. Let me bring my own. But there's one gossip we heard about this particular team.
Mm.
But I'm still making my investigation that some of the guys that went to Egypt had to pay money to make a spot.
I don't go mind if we pay money, we still win tournament last. And they didn't consider single goals, a goal, guys, in the tournament. They also won all their matches, which is simply incredible. Now, we have another commercial break in just about 3 minutes' time. Let's set the stage, set the ball rolling and lay the foundation for the next talking point for us, which will be focused on the results from the other big leagues in Europe. In the Spanish La Liga, Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Which can't even laugh at these brownish. Well, the restored their 9-point advantage over Real Madrid on top of the La Liga table after beating Athletic Bilbao narrowly by a goal to nothing. Rafinha scored the only goal of the game. And El Clasico is around the corner, isn't it? And they do have a cushion effect. Well, even if they were to lose that game, they still would be 6 points clear. Even though, of course, in Spain, it's head-to-head before goal difference. If they ever finish the season on the same number of points, which I doubt will happen because Barca look like they're riding on the crest of a wave as to consistency with results in the La Liga. For Real Madrid, well, they let themselves down in the past. But this weekend, though, they try to hold on by beating Espanyol by 3-1. They got their goals from Vinicius Junior, Eder Militao, and Marco Asensio. They had cut that lead to 6 points before Barca played yesterday to restore it to 9 points. Interesting times in the race for the La Liga title. Barca lost the title to Real Madrid last season and looked like they want to get it this time. Well, Napoli beat Atalanta by 2-0. Nigeria's Victor Osimhen created the assist for the first goal that was scored by Vicha. I think I prefer calling his first name than the second.
Kvaratskhelia.
Thank you. You're doing a good job. That's Kvaratskhelia. To scare me now. Okay. Amir Rahmani scored the second goal for Napoli as they won the fixture by 2-0 against Atalanta. Inter, who are supposed to be their closest rivals, had lost on Friday. And what that means is Napoli have 68 points, Inter second with 50 points, and we have 12 more games to the end of the season. Napoli are already 18 points clear of this Inter side. I think it's a matter of when and not if they're going to be champions. I'll touch on the Bundesliga for you and what Bayern did in their game, as well as what the guys in France did with PSG. Now they're out of the Champions League. How about the quest for the Ligue 1 title. And then we can ask ourselves the pertinent question about which punishment Barcelona should be getting if they are found guilty of bribing referees to favor them, as Real Madrid have joined the discussion. In fact, there's even a quote too on a referee talking about Real Madrid perhaps doing the same thing or something like that. We have that to dissect on the show. Game On, right after this quick timeout. Don't touch your dial. We'll be back in style to share more of your thoughts and comments also through the phone lines and the social media. Well, yes, I see you, Brownish. We're going to play around with Pato ranking. You know, going to give the guys some fresh stuff, hot and spanking. You know, when I'm done, it's going to be me that you'll be thanking. You know, you could even think that I'm from the sector of banking, you know. Welcome back, guys, to Game On. We're live on Nigeria Info, Femi and the gang. That's what we are. Shout out to you, Faji Patois voice drop. Yeah, what a way to say that, really. This is Michael in the mix and Brownish too. And we do have you out there as well. Still to come for the next 30 minutes of our presentation. We do have a conversation around Barcelona and some issues in Spanish football as to the misdemeanors potentially of some of these big teams. And also we do have something from the Indian Wells competition for tennis fans. Before we get there though, let us touch on the French Ligue 1 and let you in on what took place over the weekend, especially as regards PSG, who beat Brest by 2-1. There was Carlos Soler and also Kylian Mbappe on the score sheet in that victory for Mbappe and Messi's PSG, a team who have been knocked out of the Champions League, and they just have to be content with emerging as champions of France again. In Germany, Bayern Munich beat Augsburg 5-3. Some high-scoring game that one was. In fact, all of the games in Germany were over 1.5 for Saturday, that is. And the Schalke 04 and Borussia Dortmund shared the spoils 2-2. RB Leipzig beat Borussia Mönchengladbach. Imagine having to beat the glad batch by 3-0. That's turning them to the sad batch, perhaps. And this is what the table looks like in some of these territories, okay? In Spain, Barca, 65 points. Real Madrid, 56 points. The top two sides they are. Atletico are currently third. They have 45 points. In Italy, Napoli, 68 points. Inter, 50 points. Lazio, who are third best, have 49 points. And AC Milan, defending champions, they are, well, they are on 47 points. And in Germany, it's Bayern Munich on 52, Borussia Dortmund on 50, and RB Leipzig on 45. Looks like Bayern are pushing themselves again to become champions for what's the 11th time or so. It's me even running out of counting for the amount of titles they've won in succession in that country. Barcelona have won so many titles in Spain, but could those titles be taken off them? That's the next question. As Real Madrid say, they will support the corruption charges faced by the Barca team over money paid to the vice president of Spain's referees committee. Now, Barca have said, hey, they are innocent of any allegations, and they have agreed that they've paid some cash to some people, but it's not to the person that they think that they paid it to, for the reason that people think that they paid it for. But Real Madrid are prepared to defend their interests when proceedings are opened. Now, just about 3 days back, that was on Friday, Cuthead Barca have been indicted for corruption, breach of trust and false business records. In fact, prosecutors are alleging the Barca went on to pay as much as 8.4 million euros to Jose Maria Enrique and his company in return for favorable refereeing decisions. Now, Jose Maria Enrique was at that time the vice president of Spain's referees committee. Former presidents of Barca in Josep Maria Bartomeu and Sandro Rosell, as well as the man in question, have also been indicted alongside the club in this issue. Barca have said, hey, we did nothing wrong, and they have acknowledged the payment of some cash made to Dancio 95 between 2001 and 2018. But like I did tell you, they have said it's not like they were paying to bribe anybody to favor them with officiating. Now, you have to be innocent until proven guilty, yeah? So let's act like Barca are still innocent now. But I'm going to be finding out from these persons in the studio with me and you too, if they are found guilty somehow, what punishment do you think Barca should get Should it be a case of stripping them of all the titles that they won in the La Liga between that 2001 to 2018 space? Should it be fining them? Should it be relegating them? What exactly would you want to happen to Barca if they are found guilty? Adesi, I'll start with you. You can talk to us, to you who's listening to the broadcast now. Please go over to WhatsApp and tell us what's up, and also drop your comments on Twitter throughout Nigeria4FM. We'll be picking your calls shortly. What do you think, Ada?
Honestly, this is a very big scandal. This is very, very big for a club like Barcelona. You know, the La Liga, the way the system of La Liga is run, it would appear that there's so much power given to Real Madrid and Barca themselves as a club. In terms of decision making, in terms of... They just respect... It's not like the Premier League where there's some sort of equilibrium, where even the smaller clubs can vote against the bigger clubs that if they want to take any move. I remember the issue of the Big Six Premier League trying to project future.
Super
They wanted to do a breakout in the Premier League itself. Yes, that's, I remember the full name. Project Bigger Picture. That's what it's called. Liverpool, Man U, Tottenham Hotspur, and then the smaller teams had to come together to vote it. But La Liga, it would appear that they even have a say. There's even a current TV rights going on that Barca and Real Madrid are going to take a larger amount of money. So it's not the best of news coming from, you know, and the money is 7.3 million euros paid to referees to somehow influence games towards that.
Allegedly
now. But then we know that they're already in hot water. They're not even out of the woods as regards the club's financial issue, right? And then I think it's up to the courts. They will have to decide whether there's sufficient evidence to prove that they're guilty or not. But however, they could also face huge financial penalties other than maybe stripping them of clubs, titles and points rather now. But they have to prove evidence first. And all of these allegations coming from these clubs. First is Man City in England, Barca in Spain, Juventus in Italy. Big clubs embroiled in these corruption charges. I think, like I said, for Barca, they just hope that the La Liga chiefs don't find enough incriminating evidence. Because if they do, they're in hot water. And Laporta is the man that everyone is talking about that he should resign if he's not able to explain how 7.3 million euros got to the account of referees. It's a big shame that is if they're found guilty. Everything is now in the court. Who is their lawyer? Who's going to defend Barcelona at the end of the day?
Yeah, which is why I'm asking, if they are found guilty, what kind of punishment will be? What do you have this? You have several options, like I mentioned. Would he be stripping them of those titles that they won then, which is what Juventus suffered with the Calciopoli scandal, or relegating them, or fining them? Which exactly? If, based on this information we have now of the alleged accusation, if it happens that you know, what was alleged was really true, what will you recommend?
Like I said, first, it has to be huge financial penalty.
Okay.
Then secondly, they have to check when it started, because there's also the period in which the alleged payment was made.
Yeah.
Whether they won any title in that era, because what Juventus have now in the court is that they are looking for documents to back them to ensure that the timing of their point deduction is not exceeding when the project started. And I'm trying to put it out there for the layman to understand that if they find the document that they're looking for Juventus now, they could get their 15 points gap depending on when, if the investigators open the case earlier on than expected. If they do that, Juventus will get their 15 points back. So for Barca, they will have to check when the payment was made. Did it fall into when they won any Copa del Rey title? But it's always very difficult. I talked about it here on one of our shows, that it's always difficult to strip clubs of the title they have won, because you cannot also substantially prove to the court that it was because of that referee's decision that gave them the title in its place. And how do you also prove that the remaining clubs did not do what? Is it a fault now that it's a legal battle?
It's not straightforward as it looks.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not as straightforward as it looks. So the clubs that are accusing cannot prove that it was Barca that caused them not winning a particular game at a particular time. There's a case of injury. There's a case of loss of form. So it's quite complicated, but this is not when Barca want to be in hot water, given the fact that they are racing with Madrid. They want to win the title. In fact, all of their projects and dreams this season have shattered. They were budgeting for Champions League quarterfinals to get the prize money to help them offset bills. Yeah. Now they've crashed out of everything. Not even the Champions League, not even the Europa League. So it's a big mess.
Well, at least they're on top of the La Liga table, and that could inspire them to get something as champions. Now, still on Barca, just before Brownish comes in, the manager of that side, Javi Hernandez, said he was surprised and saddened by hostility aimed at the side in the game against Athletic Bilbao, where supporters of Bilbao at the San Mames were pushing, saying stuff like, you know, they were chanting during the first half that they want Xavi's side to be relegated to the second division. So this is hostility now coming from fans of other teams towards Barcelona amid these allegations, saying that they want Barca to be punished and relegated. More trouble for the Catalan giants now, because the court has reversed its decision to allow Gavi to be registered as a first team player at Barcelona, because the Catalan club filed their lawsuit late. That's what the La Liga have said today. Gavi, who's 18, signed a new contract at the Nou Camp in September until 2026. But the Spanish top flight did not clear the deal because Barca were in excess of their spending limit. So Gavi cannot be registered as at today, cannot be registered as at today as a first team player for Barca. Brownish, let's go back to the main conversation around this, which is this trouble. I have something on Real Madrid who may also have their own hot water to be in shortly. But, you know, you love the club, it's a club you support. However, as realistic as you can be, if paraventure Barca found guilty of these accusations, what has to happen to the team, man?
Yeah, so before I go into what's going to go into the team, I'd like to clarify a few things.
Yeah.
Now, first off, these allegations have been made, admittedly, and they've already stained the image of the club. But here's the thing. The thing is, there are lots of things that clubs do that are not in the public eye for great reasons. And I think that the leader or the chairman of La Liga is banking on a lot of that. Talking about Javier Tebas. And more of this is more political than it is anything else, right? I believe that Tebas is coming after not just Barcelona. I think that Real Madrid are going to be facing their own hot water quite soon as well. And it's because of the Super League. Like was mentioned, we've seen cases come up against teams like Manchester City. We've seen cases come up with Juventus.
Mm-hmm.
This season, out of the blue, things that originally were not coming to light. We've also seen things coming up against Barcelona as well. Here's the thing. What do all these three clubs have in common? The fact that, first off, they are not favorites in their league, at least not anymore. That's one. And then number two, and when I'm talking about favorites, I'm not talking about on the pitch. I'm talking about when it comes to the sentiment. Yeah, the love that the team, the league itself has for them is not that high. And then the other thing that they have in common is the fact that they were all part of that Super League saga. Now, it's worse with, you know, with Spanish clubs, because the Real Madrid and the La Liga obviously believes that Real Madrid and Barcelona are trying to take food from their mouth. It's basically your two biggest exports. Who, and when people say that, oh, Real Madrid and Barcelona have such a huge say in the TV rights and stuff like that, because more often than not, people want to watch the La Liga because of Real Madrid and Barcelona.
True.
If people wanted to watch the Premier League just because of Manchester United and Liverpool, Manchester United and Liverpool would have more clout than every other club. The fact is, the Premier League thought about this early enough, and then they marketed the fact that they marketed the entire league. It wasn't just about the clubs. Now, in the La Liga, the marketing was not done. The teams marketed themselves in Europe. People started watching these teams in Europe and then started loving these teams because of the kind of football that they played, and then the fact that they kept winning titles.
Yeah.
Right? So this is very clearly a witch hunt for Barcelona. But now let's look at the facts.
Yeah.
They came out and said between a period of 2001 and 2017, Barcelona paid certain amount, 7 million euros, to a certain former referee, because he's now former. Back then, he was still a referee, and he still had a position in the referees council.
As vice chairman.
Two man. Now, the thing is, first off, Barcelona have come out to say that those payments were made, but they were made to give Barcelona insights on the referee's refereeing habits.
MPFL.
And every every club does that.
MPFL.
If you're going to face a referee, you would like to know what kinds of things you can get away with. You would like to know what kinds of decisions you can influence on the pitch, right?
Not to bribe a referee.
Because not be every referee will go for. We saw in the game against Athletic Bilbao yesterday, the referee was more likely to let the game flow than he was to stop it. In fact, when Barcelona scored, he actually ruled it out for an offside because the linesman had given an offside. And then VAR had to check it and it was given as a goal because it wasn't offside. And then the reverse happened with the Athletic Bilbao goal. These are the kinds of decisions that you would like to know so that you can anticipate these kinds of decisions. If, for example, I'm the coach of a side and I'm going into a match with a referee that I know would give cards, but is less likely to give a penalty if you go down in the box, I'm likely to tell my players, don't go down in the box if there's no clear and obvious contact. Mm. But if it's a referee that if you touch me and I go down, it's a penalty. He has given away, let's say by 26 games, he has given away 30-something penalties in the league, just him. Then definitely you're going to be expecting that every time you go into the box, you're going to fall down, you're going to get a penalty.
To the extent of paying 7.3 million...
This was over a period of 16 years. It was obviously an accumulation.
$7.3 million
for services rendered over 16 years is a lot of money accumulated. It's an accumulation.
Is it Barca that will pay the referees now? That's why I said MPFL.
Yes, because it's a club.
That's why I said MPFL.
Who is supposed to pay the referees? Is it the coach?
No.
It's the club that will pay the referees. He's paying the referee to know this kind of information. Who is he supposed to pay?
To know what kind of information.
Who knows this kind of league organizers? Why would you pay La Liga? You pay the referees. The club is meeting the referees or meeting somebody in the referees that has the right to give this kind of information. This is all speculation. This is what Barca said versus what
the investigations are accusing Barca of doing.
And here's the thing. The referees council has come out and said that even if Barca had paid the man had no influence over the referees to actually give them favorable decisions.
Okay.
And that is facts. We've heard multiple times where allegations have come out about Real Madrid. In fact, it was a classical where it was said that the linesman came out and said that the referees had been instructed to favor Barcelona in that particular El Clasico, to favor Real Madrid in that particular El Clasico. It has come out time and time again. We've heard rumors of the majority of 90% of referees actually supporting Madrid and then the other 10% leaning more towards Barcelona. We've heard these allegations before, but the fact is, why are they all coming out now and it's starting to be a case? Is the fact that Barcelona and Real Madrid were also important. In fact, Barcelona, Real Madrid and Juventus are the only three teams who refused to pull out of the Super League initiative, even when other teams like City and other big teams, Bayern Munich, decided to pull out. Now, the fact is, if Barcelona eventually come out like this and it is found, in quotes, that they did pay the referees for these kinds of favorable decisions.
Yeah.
The fact is, you cannot prove that those favorable decisions. Mm. Are you going to go to every match?
Titles.
Mm. Now,
the dominance of those Barcelona sides, even just between 2002 and 2010, was massive. The dominance of the Pep Guardiola side that eventually won the treble in 2014-2015 was unquestionable.
Enrique 2014-2015.
And then Pep
Guardiola 2009 and then 2011.
Do you get what I mean?
Here's the caveat.
Yeah, just to wrap up. Mm.
The public prosecutor is accusing Barcelona as a club maintaining a relationship with Maria Enriquez Negreira. Why will you maintain a relationship with a particular, knowing that he has power, which is the vice chairmanship, right? For money, he carried out actions that would lead to Barcelona being favored in the decision making of the referees.
This is an accusation.
That is what the public referee, and this, remember again, the same Barca,
the prosecutor
was accused. I'm not even saying that they're guilty. I'm just pointing out the fact that they are throwing themselves in the negative light of the media. The same Barca were accused of paying influencers on social media to defame players that refuse to accept pay cut. And the president came out to say, yes, we are sorry, we did it.
Okay. So
pay money, he pay money here.
Too many.
Exactly.
Let me touch on this so we can go to the phone lines and hear from the listener too and read. I can see comments pouring in on WhatsApp as to what they expect Barca to get if the Barca side are found guilty. Now, yesterday night or last night, former referee Eduardo Iturralde González made scandalous revelations on Spanish radio show Cadena SER, and he said that Florentino Perez, the president of Real Madrid, tried to lock him in a room and put pressure on him to order to ask him to whistle Real Madrid in the same manner as he did for Barcelona. And it was during the 2010-2011 season after a match against Deportivo La Coruña. So this former referee in a radio interview is accusing Florentino Perez of locking him up in a room and telling him, my friend, the way you have been officiating for Barcelona, officiate for us. And this was the 2010-2011 season. So Real Madrid themselves too seem to be having some accusation towards their direction, and this thing is getting really messy. Let's go to the phone lines now and hear from you. If
quick one
Barca
now
are found guilty, sorry, Ada, no quick one. We have a commercial break in a bit. If Barca are found guilty, what should be the punishment from your perspective? And are you somebody who thinks that they can be guilty based on what you have known of Barcelona over the years? 0700-993-993-993 on WhatsApp. Here are some of your comments just before I click the right buttons with the phone lines. Imano says Barcelona should be relegated to the lower division if they are found guilty. Dodo from Igondo, Oluwani is your name, says, good evening, guys. You're doing a great job. I think that there should be a 15-point deduction from Barca if they are found guilty. Now, take note of that word from me, if, because officially they have not been found guilty. This one from Mike from Alagbado says, hello, good evening, Femi and the gang. I knew Arsenal will win the game today. All right, all of that. And he goes on Barca, says, I want Barca to be taken to the third division of Spanish league if they are found guilty. And Mike from Alagbado with that. All righty. Let's see. A bit more now. Three more so I can go to the phone lines. Chuma, no need for investigation. Make them pack all of them. Put for sack. Throw them to guy, take it easy now. Pius from Egbeda, leave that one, I beg. Maybe everything with the East play sometimes, eh? Ima from Lagos says, why are you so eager to hear Barca guilty when nothing has been proven? Till then, I'm not in a position to prescribe any punishment for them, he says. So he's saying, don't even imagine that they are guilty. Don't even say if they are found guilty. Leave it until they are found guilty, if they are. But for now, don't even have the conversation at all. Imar from Lagos is saying on WhatsApp, if Barca are proven guilty, it'll be okay if they deduct points from them. But if we are to go for a stricter punishment, then they should be relegated. Same thing happened to Juventus back then. We all preach fair play on the pitch. Same should be said about administration too. This is corruption and we should not accept it in football and other sports. Richard from Shagamo with that message on WhatsApp. Thank you for all your comments on WhatsApp. I cannot read all, you know, because there are so many still pouring in. But I'll see if I can squeeze in a bit more before we wrap things up. For now, though, so back to the phone lines. Welcome. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening, Chuma.
Hi, good evening. Quickly, please. So
yeah, for me, I don't think Barcelona should receive any punishment because it's not the player.
Okay.
If they are found guilty, let the president, the person who was the president of Barcelona at that time,
okay,
that's right, that they be put to jail, be sent to jail.
All right. Thank you for speaking to us Friday. Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Yeah, good evening.
Yes, good evening to you.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, Brownish is saying hi.
Good evening.
Saying hi too, yeah.
Good evening. Yeah. I wish Brownish would be judge of this case. Because hearing him now.
The network connection is messing things up. Are you still there? I'm so sorry. Call us back if you can, okay? We're not hearing you anymore.
Hello.
Welcome. Yeah, good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
We hear you.
My name is Chika, calling for a first test. I want to understand something. Do you mean that the free go and he go and expose everything about him and Barcelona?
No, it's
Is this mean the Perez for the... I don't understand. Please, I want to understand.
All right, keep listening to us, okay? So prosecutors investigated and then came out with the accusations that Barca paid a certain referee money to help them. That referee, vice chairman of the referees committee then in the La Liga. Barca have come out to say, yeah, we paid money to a certain body, but it was to get advice on officiating and not we bribing somebody to influence matches for us. And that's where the back and forth is. The Real Madrid story is a different one. The Real Madrid story is a former referee who has now come out to say that Florentino Perez locked him in a room and told him, hey, my friend, the way you've been officiating for Barcelona, officiate for us.
So, and that led to Madrid calling a quick meeting. Perez had to call a meeting almost immediately to say, now, wait, this case don't reach our neighbor, Domot. It go reach us, so guys, we need to put our house in order. In fact, there's fire everywhere now.
Wahala for this. Good evening, welcome. Ah, sorry about that. Terrible connection that one is line four. It's still Game On with Femi and the gang on Nigeria Info this Monday evening. Hi. Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah, your life. I think line one is just playing a fast one on you. Sorry about that. Okay. Hello. Hello. Your chance now. Don't miss it. Welcome.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Your life on Nigeria. And for what's your name? Okay, Zofisha, the phone lines are acting up. I think that's the cue for me to go in for the next commercial break. When we return, I'll be getting the closing remarks of Adeze and Brownish on this and sharing a few more of your comments on social media, even while the phone lines are acting up. And then, of course, touching on the tennis story from Indian Wells. This is still Game On. It's live on Nigeria Info. We'll be back.